Radio Catskill.
Live from the Radio Catskill studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, a local tribute to civil rights legend John Lewis. We'll hear how We Are One Sullivan is keeping his call for good trouble alive right here in Sullivan County. How can you save money and help the environment? We're talking with Michelle Long of SEEDS, Sustainable Energy Education and Development Support, about free resources, local success stories, and how you can get involved, plus details on their upcoming volunteer ice cream social. That's important. Plus, local economic perspective from James V. Huntington. And it's our summer fun drive. We are well on our way to making that goal, but we can't do it without your support. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Now the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Trump has the war in Ukraine on his agenda. Trump's special envoy to Ukraine arrived in Kyiv today, and NATO chief Mark Rutte is due at the White House this hour after Trump late yesterday confirmed that the U.S. will use NATO to send Patriot air defense missiles to help Ukraine defend against Russian aerial attacks. All this as Trump is expected to make what he says is a major statement on Russia. NPR's Charles Maines is in Moscow.
The Kremlin is taking a wait-and-see approach, perhaps waiting also to see whether these U.S. arms deliveries through NATO include more offensive weapons that could strike inside Russia. I think they're also curious to see whether Trump includes new sanctions in his announcement today. In that sense, it's been interesting to see Moscow remain fairly deferential to Trump, turning the other cheek, for example, even when Trump has used profane language to call Putin unserious about negotiations.
Trump made ending the war in Ukraine a priority, but has increasingly expressed frustration with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Israel, Hamas continuing talks in Qatar for a ceasefire deal in Gaza. President Trump says he hopes for a deal this week. NPR's Daniel Estrin reports from Tel Aviv, where Israeli officials are discussing a proposal to drive tens of thousands of Palestinians into a new zone in southern Gaza.
A major unresolved issue in the ceasefire talks is Israel's demand to keep troops in a strip of land in order to cordon off a zone in southern Gaza. A person briefed on the matter, who spoke on condition of anonymity, said Israeli mediators in the talks are presenting maps of proposed troop placements. That is connected to a proposal Israeli officials are discussing to build what they call a humanitarian city in southern Gaza, a large tent camp in an area guarded by soldiers to separate civilians from Hamas. A UN official says that would amount to mass displacement into, quote, concentration camps near the Egyptian border. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Stocks opened mixed this morning after President Trump threatened higher tariffs on imports from some of the country's biggest trading partners. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 43 points in early trading.
Over the weekend, President Trump said he planned to impose tariffs of 30% on goods coming into the U.S. from both Mexico and the European Union. As with other recent tariff announcements, the effective date for the new levies is August 1st, leaving some wiggle room for adjustment before that. The muted reaction in the stock market so far suggests that investors are doubtful the president will actually follow through on his tariff threats. On Friday, the Treasury Department said the government collected $27 billion in tariff revenue in the month of June. That's four times the import taxes the government took in during the same month last year. Asian stocks were mixed overnight, up in Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Seoul, but down in Tokyo. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. Authorities in the Boston area are investigating the cause of a deadly fire last night at an assisted living facility. At least nine people were killed at the Gabriel House facility in Fall River and some 30 others injured, including several firefighters. In Arizona, parts of Grand Canyon National Park have been evacuated, and a historic lodge has been destroyed by an out-of-control 5,000-acre fire. Adrian Scabaland of member station KNAU reports that state officials are demanding an investigation.
The wind-driven Dragon Bravo fire jumped containment lines on the park's north rim over the weekend. On Saturday night, it grew 500 acres, destroying more than 50 structures, including the 1930s-era Grand Canyon Lodge. Park officials say the fire also burned the water treatment facility, releasing poisonous chlorine gas and forcing firefighters to pull back. The North Rim is closed for the season, while the popular South Rim remains open. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs called for an independent investigation into the fire on Sunday. She says Arizonans deserve to know why the federal government chose to manage the fire as a controlled burn during the hottest part of Arizona's summer. For NPR News, I'm Adrian Scabland in Flagstaff.
This time it was Italy's Yannick Sinner who came out on top. Sinner ended his losing streak against Spain's Carlos Alcaraz, beating Alcaraz in Sunday's men's final at Wimbledon. Sinner had lost five matches in a row to Alcaraz, including the French Open final 5 weeks ago. His victory at Wimbledon is Sinner's fourth Grand Slam tennis title and his first since returning from a three-month doping ban. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to that local tribute to civil rights legend John Lewis in just a moment, but I want to let you know there's a flash flood watch in effect from noon today through this evening for most of our listening area, including Delaware, Sullivan, Wayne, and Pike counties. Excessive runoff may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone locations. Flooding may occur in poor drainage and urban areas as well. That's because scattered to numerous thunderstorms and showers will be developing this afternoon and this evening. They're expected to be slow moving, according to the National Weather Service. Those can produce torrential downpours, and the National Weather Service says that rainfall rates could be near or exceed 1 inch per hour at times this afternoon. Showers and storms could track over the same areas multiple times, which will increase that threat for flash flooding. Again, a flash flood watch in effect for the listening area. And in the wake of the devastating floods in Texas, New York is examining its own extreme weather response systems. This includes stockpiles of emergency supplies for counties secured in the last fiscal year and strengthening regional staff and training from the State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services. Governor Kathy Hochul says those additions are important now in light of the talk that FEMA could be, quote, weaned off by the federal government.
We are investing. 15 months ago, we expanded the Office of Emergency Management. We doubled our field staff. We committed $15 million to help localities. And I come out of local government. How important it is that our localities have what they need as well, because that's where the action happens, and make sure there's flood barriers and high flow pumps and generators.
Hochul made those comments while touring the state's Weather Risk Communication Center, which houses meteorology and emergency response experts 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year.
Relies on timeliness, speed to get it to them before and after the storms. And so we track this and make sure that our state and local decision makers have everything they need. And so this center is designed to take federal forecasts and make sure that people on the ground understand them.
Hochul said New York is lending assistance to those in Texas as they recover from the flooding. They've sent a team of state troopers and rescue canines to help in the recovery efforts. A reminder, it's our summer fund drive. Our fund drive is on track to meet our goal by Friday, 53% of the way there. We could do it sooner if we hear from you. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. I want to thank some folks who've been donating this morning. I want to thank Maggie. Maggie, it's good to hear from you. It's always good to see names that you know to pop up. Susan, Joseph, Anonymous, and Jonathan, who says online, Radio Catskill is essential for keeping us thinking, informed, and aware of what is happening around us locally, nationally, and universally. We cannot afford to lose it. Jonathan, thank you. You're right. We can't. And it relies on you, our listener. We're listener-supported public radio. Call us at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Now, let's talk about John Lewis. Congressman Lewis passed away 5 years ago. This Thursday marks that anniversary. He was a civil rights icon who dedicated his life to the fight for justice, equality, and voting rights. Here in Sullivan County, community organizers are honoring his legacy with a special event called Good Trouble Lives On. It's part of a national day of nonviolent action. Joining us now are Ann Hart and Ken Wampler from We Are One Sullivan, the group behind the local celebration, to talk about Lewis's enduring impact and how we can all carry his work forward. Ann and Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This event is part of a National Day of Nonviolent Action, as I mentioned. How does the local effort here in Sullivan County connect with the broader national movement? Ken?
Well, we are one of 1,500 of these celebrations across the country. And I think that, you know, in terms of connection, Indivisible's magic is its ability to sense important unifying themes that cause us to coalesce around the nation, like Hands Off and May Day and No Kings, because they all spoke to particular attacks by the current administration. Good Trouble Lives On gives us a chance to be inspired by Congressman Lewis's life and legacy and to be renewed by it. And I think I certainly could use a little renewal. You know, it puts the good in trouble and emphasizes how important a commitment to nonviolence is to successful protest, as well as how important voting is to our democracy. So, you know, our co-sponsors also say how we're connected to the community, which are the NAACP Chapter 2187B, our local chapter, the Committee for Equity and Justice, Rural and Migrant Ministry, Inc., as well as all of us at We Are One Sullivan. So we're all coming together because coalition building is really important at this time.
And in the year since his passing, how do you think Congressman Lewis's work continues to influence movements for civil rights and voting rights? You mentioned a couple of those protests that erupted this spring and earlier this summer. Do you think that Congressman Lewis's work has influenced those?
I think his work has influenced all of us. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
No. Go ahead, Ann. Go ahead.
I think his life work really has influenced all of us. And the time that he took to advocate for many years for voting rights for everyone, he famously registered millions and millions of voters during his tenure in private organizations. So I think that, you know, in this time where we feel relatively safe in New York State, our state legislature continues to expand voting rights for our voters here. We still need to address why voters don't vote, why they should vote, why it's important for them to vote. We're relatively protected here. After the Shelby decision several years ago, states who had been under federal monitoring began to enact laws that restricted voting for people. And that's something that we all need to be aware of as we go forward, whether we live in a state that protects voting rights or not.
Ken, did you want to talk about some of that influence as well?
No, that's okay. You know, I will just add that I think there's a reason why John Lewis was called the conscience of the Congress. Mm-hmm. And I think he brings that consciousness to all of us through this event.
And you alluded to this about voting. The Voting Rights Act has been weakened in recent years. What concerns do you have about voting access today, both nationally and here in New York, even though, as you said, some folks may feel protected?
I don't know if you said Ken or Ann.
I'm sorry, Ann. I was alluding to your previous comment about voting.
I think we need to be aware of it, and I think we need to be aware that under this administration and the acts that it is taking nationwide, it is giving states even more freedom to reject, you know, to restrict the rights to vote in many states. It's encouraging it. You know, the concept of voter ID laws, even the one of the most egregious and silly yet egregious things was to restrict the ability for people to give water to people standing in line to vote in Georgia. That happened shortly after this decision from the Supreme Court. So I think the erosion of rights continues. I think that Congressman Lewis really was our conscience in so many ways about protecting the rights of people, and that's a mantle that we all have to take on now that he's gone. The Voting Rights Act that was introduced right after he died so far has not been able to pass Congress and be signed into law, and it's been reintroduced again. We don't have a lot of hope for it this year, but the fact that it continues to be reintroduced continues to remind us about how precious and delicate, really, our rights are.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ann Hart and Ken Wampler from We Are One Sullivan, the group behind the local celebration of Congressman John Lewis's life and legacy as part of a national day of nonviolent action called Good Trouble Lives On. Ken, can you tell folks about We Are One Sullivan, if they're not familiar with it? Explain the group's mission and ongoing work.
Sure. We Are One Sullivan is our local chapter of Indivisible, and it was formed originally in, I believe, 2016, and sort of re-energized in 2024 when this all started to happen. So it's a group, it's a nonpartisan group that has a number of, we organize to send letters to our elected officials. We organize these actions to raise our voices. And we continue to reach out to build our numbers because, you know, as you know from fundraising, it's a numbers game. And we're going to need to really build our voices locally and nationally. You know, to Ann's point before about voting, we may be relatively safe in New York, but the country elects an administration. And so we need to come together as a country, and Indivisible helps us facilitate that for us. So we are the local group. I think we are some, Ann would know this better, some 500 strong, and growing.
I want to ask each of you this question. John Lewis urged people to get into what he called good trouble. What does that phrase mean to you personally, Ken?
Personally, it means, as I said before, put the good in trouble. So it's a commitment to nonviolence. That's the kind of raising of voices of protest that works. So it's a commitment to that, and it's an understanding that voting is our voice, and voting, we must raise the voting outcomes in our county, and we must raise the voting in our country, and we must push back on these restrictive laws that try to bar individuals and groups of individuals from voting. Excuse me.
Ann, I'll ask you the same. What does good trouble mean to you personally?
Well, Ken emphasized the good part of good trouble, so I'll emphasize the trouble part of good trouble. Sometimes in order to achieve a goal, you have to create a little trouble. You have to create a little outcry. You have to create a stir. You have to call it out for when you see it, for what it is, if it's an act of injustice, if it's an act of unfairness, or it's an act of inactiveness. And that's what trouble really is. Trouble is calling it out for what it is and helping people to realize that together we can act to change things for the better for ourselves and for members of our community.
As I mentioned, this is part of a National Day of Nonviolent Action. GoodTroubleLivesOn.org will show you a map of all of these events happening throughout the country. You know, we're 2 hours from New York City. Folks could have gone down there to have this event or show their support or protest or make their voices heard, however you want to say it. Why do you think it's important to hold events like this in a rural area like ours, Ken?
I think it's important because we need to know our neighbors. And know each other is there to build a larger sense of community. And, you know, personally, I can say that that's the good part of all of this is meeting all of these marvelous people who are on the same page about pushing back against the destruction of our democracy, the dismantling of our government, the ignoring our laws. This is a country ruled by people, not by, as we said in the last one, no kings. We are a group of, we are a country of laws, and we are standing up together locally to show our strength, to show our unity. That's what it means to me.
And can you remind folks where and when this is all happening, how they can get more information?
It is Thursday, July 17th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Rotary Pavilion at Hanafy Park. There will be people there to help you park or find parking and to assist people who need assistance going to the pavilion. It will be covered. Our hospitality folks will be serving lemonade. It's supposed to be a hot day. So take care as you dress for that. And I just like to close by saying that in terms of this group and what this group means and why we should do something locally, the saying is that courage is contagious. And when you see your neighbors and your friends and people you don't know out there making a stand about what's going on, it's contagious and it's useful.
And before we go, just if John Lewis were alive today, what message do you think he'd have for the next generation of activists in a moment like this, Anne?
Keep going.
Ken?
Absolutely. The fight is never really over, it seems. But there is strength in numbers, and I totally agree with Anne that courage is contagious, and that will pull us forward and lead us forward.
That's Ken Wampler and Anne Hart from We Are One Sullivan, the group behind the local celebration of Congressman John Lewis. Thursday marks 5 years since his passing, and Good Trouble Lives On as part of a National Day of Nonviolent Action. The local celebration, again, is Thursday in Hanafy Park in Liberty. You can find out more about all of the movement of Good Trouble Lives On at goodtroubleliveson.org. Anne, Ken, thank you guys so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. And don't forget to donate to WJFF.
I didn't even have to ask. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, please donate so we can continue to bring you this important news and information that you rely on. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. Did you know your neighbors were organizing this Thursday to celebrate Congressman John Lewis? Now you do. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. Donate now to our summer fun drive. This is Radio Chatskill. We've got a look at local economic perspective from our own James B. Huntington after a break, including some unemployment figures for our listening area. The latest there. This is Radio Chatskill.
I'm Brooke Gladstone from On the Media. And as you can deduce from the name of the show, we track the evolving media, the right and the wrong of it, across myriad platforms. But the truth is, the best thing about it, and I'm talking here about the fact-based media, the independent media, is that it's here at all. Over the 3 decades I've been watching, there have been countless bombardments and forays and brawls, but I've never seen it attacked with such focus and ferocity as now. Especially our own little corner of it, public media. Your media, we hope. You know, you could stand up for public media right here at home. Start a monthly gift or add to your existing one. Here's how you do it.
Give now at WJFFradio.org. Protect public media and stand with Radio Catskill. WJFFradio.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Stand with us. It's more important than ever. Donate today at WJFFradio.org or go to the phone and call, and somebody in the office will pick up there. 845-482-4141. Say hello. Tell us why you support public radio. And also, the other thing we're asking for you to do today is to make your voice heard at protectmypublicmedia.org. The Senate will vote this week on the possibility of defunding public media, including Radio Catskill. Federal support for public media is a small investment with a huge impact, but without it, we may not be able to continue providing some of the programming maybe you've relied on, because it's not an insignificant part of our budget. It's about 25% of our budget. The majority of our budget comes from listeners, just like you, but that will have some sort of impact if it goes away. And again, it was previously approved by this administration and this Congress in March. Now they're talking about taking it back. Go to Protect My Public Media and let your senators know you want that to stay, because you want this service that you rely on to be robust and full and thriving. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org to make a donation or make your voice heard, or and I should say, protectmypublicmedia.org. I'm Tim Bruno and you're listening to Radio Chatskill, and it's Monday. Working 9 to 5. That means we get to check in with our own James B. Huntington for Local Economic Perspective. James B., good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, listeners.
I was telling folks about the economics of public radio. We'll get to that in a little bit more detail later. But give us some detail about the latest unemployment rates in our listening area. What do you have there?
Yes, these are from May. They just came out. We have Sullivan County with 2.8% unemployment, Orange County 3.2%, Ulster County 2.9%, Wayne County 3.5%, and Pike County, 4.3%. Sullivan dropped a tenth of a percent. Orange was up a tenth. Wayne was down 0.4%, and Pike was down 0.1%. The national rating was 4.0%, gaining a tenth of a percent. So we're doing even better than we were before. We're pulling away from the national average with four or five counties well below the national unadjusted rate here. So the people who are responsible for this or are contributing to this are doing a superb job, because unemployment really could be a lot higher, and it is very low in these areas.
Good to hear. Well, let's move on to a retirement. After you're working and you want to retire, what should your plan for withdrawing your retirement savings look like? Was this an article in the Times? I think I saw this because my antenna went up.
Yes, exactly. This was by Brian J. O'Connor. It came out 2 days ago in the New York Times. So what it is this is a good problem, which a lot of people in their 60s especially are having now. It's titled, You Saved and Saved for Retirement. Now you need a plan to cash out. So what do you do? How do you get to the money? Well, the classic approach, the normal, the as close there is to a normal average way, is to take out 4% a year once you start to retire. Now, that may be a little low now. The person who originated this idea and publicized it has said that as of a few years ago, 4.5% really might be closer, a little more. So the idea is to have a 90% chance of having cash left over after 30 years. So even if you live until you're very late 90s, if you're in your late 60s, you will make it easily there. So there are other possibilities. There, one thing you should do before you just stick a boilerplate ordinary number on is look at your plans, your, as far as you can guess what your plans will be for the next 20 or 30 years, where a lot of people, they say, have three phases of retirement. The go-go years, when new retirees establish their lifestyle, travel maybe a lot, and indulge long-neglected hobbies and family time. Then you have slow-go years, 70s and such, when aging can start to limit retirement activities. And then you have the no-go years, starting around 80, when you're going to be settled into an established home and routine. It will probably stay the same. So that's one reason why you should not worry as much about inflation, because you'll be needing more in the early years. Mm-hmm. So those are things. Also, look at your goals. Will you be working? That's an important thing. Do you expect to work for a few years or not at all? That can affect how much money you take out, but you can get a plan. Also, another possibility, and I happen to have personally done this, to take out an annuity with some of your nest egg and get cash. That will not only hedge against prices or stock values going down, but it will bring in cash now, guaranteed for some things. A major company will provide that for you. If you give them a certain amount of cash, they will give you an annuity that will pay a certain amount every month, usually. Now, it is taxable. Those are taxable events. If you've taken them out, if you take them out of qualified money, you don't have to pay the whole amount you paid in, but you do have to pay taxes on the monthly payments you get. So that's a consideration. Another good policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's helped me know that I'm having enough cash and not worry about things going wrong. You may need professional help with this if you have unusual situations or if you're really befuddled by the whole thing somehow. It's good to avoid that and just set some percentages and make out a plan. There are plenty of sites you can look at which will figure out, for example, if you're making, 5% a year on your stocks and you pull out 4%, what will your balance look like if that holds true in 5, 10, 15 years and so on. A lot of things to think about, but I hope you have that problem because it is a good one.
Well, yeah, and of course, consult a financial advisor or professional if you're making plans like that. I was saying my antenna went up because, you know, it's one of those things we tell you when you're younger that you should just, you know, put it away and don't think about it. And then later you're like, as you get closer.
Yes, well, now maybe if you're reaching the kind of age I'm at.
When you start getting
think about it.
When you start getting the AARP card in the mail, you start thinking about things. So,
I'm so old, my AARP rookie card is worth a fortune.
Put it out there. Get some extra retirement coin there. Let's talk about some side hustles that people are doing. It seems that more and more Americans are trapped in a side hustle economy. What's going on?
Well, there are a lot of people. About a third of the adults in the country now have some kind of side way of making money outside their regular normal careers. It's been split between ages. Historically, 2 years ago, about 20% of new signups were between 18 and 24, people who were starting it. But that, this year, has jumped to 40%. That's a lot. A lot of people in the younger generation are finding that life is really quite expensive and their pay almost always increases for most jobs the older you get. So when you start, you may be starting pretty low. So there are a lot of people who are finding it. The main reason really is that they can't make ends meet in what they're making. They don't have any grand projects or want to live especially expensively and are willing to put in the extra hours for these things. Mainly it's because they're not making it. They're not doing what they consider to be getting basic assets and such things. Mm. So there is more. There probably will be more and more of these. I mean, it's an old, old thing. I mean, back around the time I was born, people called it moonlighting, and people kept it sort of secret from their employers. But now things are different, and that's a whole other thing, what you want to do, how you want to deal with your life and such. But it seems like there will be more and more of this going around as living expenses get higher, and they may be heading higher in the next few years.
Let's talk about some other types of jobs, trade jobs, and their unique challenges. Now, those jobs offer a lot of benefits, like a good earning potential and maybe some job security there, but there also are some distinct challenges in trade jobs compared to other professions. What are some of those things that might be worse than some other professions?
Yes, well, for the younger generation, the people who are also between about 18 and 30, trade jobs are all the rage. They're getting so many people that trade school enrollment has been bigger than regular university enrollment. That's a good thing in some way. I mean, I think the number of people going to regular college has been too high for decades now. That's a positive change. It's one advantage is that if you can get a job in the trades after the training, which is a lot shorter, you can start working when you're a lot younger instead of waiting till you're in your mid-20s or whatever in order to get moving on a career. The disadvantage is it may not be so easy to get a job. Unemployment has been ranging higher. It's about 7.2% for building inspectors, electricians, and plumbers, and those people make good money, but it's a hefty unemployment rate. So there may be problems there. It's a minus thing. There also has been something about job satisfaction and people having remarkably low ratings of that for trade jobs. So there was a study which had a string of jobs found to be the happiest, and not a single trade job made that list. So you'll have to really judge yourself on this. I would say if you're good with your hands, if you've always enjoyed that, if you're handy around the house and such, if you really like working in that kind of thing, then I would say go for it. But the trades are not an area where somebody who doesn't have those skills, doesn't have those interests and aptitude should go. So don't get caught away with a trend. If you don't really think you have special abilities and competence at that sort of thing, judge yourself and stay away if that's not you.
Last week we learned that for the first time in nearly 20 years, the Transportation Security Administration is letting people keep their shoes on when they move through checkpoints at the airport.
Yes,
right.
Good news.
Good news there, but that doesn't mean folks are scot-free. There could still be some clothing and accessories that might flag someone for additional airport screening. What are some of those?
Yes, it's seems to be surprising. You might think that you can dress any way you want to on a plane, and you can within very wide limits, but it's getting revealed that the TSA people are giving extra searches and extra attention to people who wear, for example, hoodies, long coats, cargo pants with lots of pockets, a lot of jewelry, even especially heavy jewelry, a lot of metal. You may be getting plenty of attention. Also, shirts or other clothing items with offensive, graphic, or politically charged messages. Just, I mean, if you don't believe in laying off that stuff when you're in general public, at least lay off it when you're about to get in a plane, because the reactions of the security folks may not be positive. And even though you rate to not have a problem, I mean, once in a while somebody gets barred from being on a plane, but mainly it's just a nuisance. It's just that they'll be taking extra time when you may not need it. You may not have a lot of extra time. And I just recommend if you can stand it, just don't wear things like that.
Be nice.
Because you are getting attention you really don't want.
All right, let's talk about the numbers. What were the stock, oil, metal, crypto prices this morning, and how did they change?
Okay, well, using a one-week interval as usual, as of early this morning, gold was $33.64, up 56, solid, as uncertainty looks like it's going to be around for a long time, nationally and worldwide. Silver, $38.91, the bell of the ball, with a $2.40 increase. The ratio is now down to 86-1 with gold. I mean, that was 105 within the last couple of months or so. So silver has really boomed. I mean, I suspect silver is going to come down from where it is now. But it had the week. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 44,372, down 457. It went up until Thursday when Trump started talking about tariffs again and threatening tariffs left and right. And it went right down. I won't say down the sink or something because it's still quite high, but it had three good days, it may have dropped 600 or 800 over the past 2 days. The NASDAQ, 20,586, only down 15, not much of anything. Somehow it really stayed the same, but the NASDAQ has its own things, and it probably was set to go up more without this. Oil, West Texas Intermediate, $69.01 the barrel, up $2.18, up. As we now we're seeing decreases at the pump that have come in when it went into the 60s this last time, but those will start creeping up again. Bitcoin, 122,560. What did I say about silver being the bell of the ball? Bitcoin went up 13,570 and is at a new all-time record. People love it. I don't understand what motivates pricing in Bitcoin, and I hope somebody does. Mm-hmm. Because, I don't know, you can take a gamble on this if you want, but it's awfully high. British pound, 1.3471, down about a penny and a quarter. The dollar's up, also reflected in the euro, which was 1.1679, which is about half a cent down, also better. And the Japanese 100 yen dropped a penny to 68 cents, staying in its range in which it's been oscillating for a long time. So overall, really, the main determinant of how the markets and things doing is what comes out of Trump's mouth, mm-hmm. much more than his actions, much more than what tariffs are actually in place. But when he threatens tariffs, it goes down. I hope the wrong people aren't taking advantage of this with insider trading. But it's a surprise to everyone who's not connected with what's going on in Washington. So we'll see. I mean, if he goes and plays golf for a week, I can just about guarantee you everything, or at least the stocks, will go up. But when he doesn't, well, this is what we get.
Yeah. Well, before we go, let's talk about why it's good business to support your local public radio station, namely this one.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great asset. When you support it, you're helping it keep going. It's on the radio, but if somehow it should disappear, that would be because of a lack of money. It is dangered. It is threatened. It provides a lot of useful information and enjoyable shows and such. And remember, you're not getting any commercials. It's if you can kick in something in the pledge drives, then you can enjoy knowing that there are only maybe 4-5 weeks out of the year where the pledge drives are going on, and otherwise it's just totally clean with no hawking and no commercials and a lot of programming, great programming you can't get anywhere else. So do what you can.
And some solid local economic perspective from our local economist and author, James B. Huntington. Thank you,
that
sir.
That too.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, listeners.
(845) 482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. That's where you can donate and help us keep going, as James B. Huntington said. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. Donate during our summer fun drive. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear from the folks at Seeds. This is Radio Chatskill.
We here at Radio Catskill are facing an uncertain future. You may have heard about the threats to our federal funding, and it's true. Because of actions in Washington, D.C., we may lose a quarter of our annual budget. Congressmen, senators, they're messing with a cherished public resource and pushing stations like ours to the point of crisis. This isn't just a crisis for us, it's a crisis for the whole community. Radio Catskill's a trusted source of emergency alerts, local news, and cultural programming, and that's why it's more important than ever for you to support this station now at WJFFradio.org. If we have to make painful cuts, it will have a negative impact on our whole region. It'll affect the many local businesses, nonprofit organizations that we support on air. It'll affect our ability to voice local concerns. So please, help us out during our summer fun drive. make a donation, and if you can, spread the word. Share the link. Tell your friends and family we need their help, too. Donate now at WJFFradio.org. Thank you so much.
Or call 845-845-482-4141, 845-482-4141, or WJFFradio.org. Donate during our summer fun drive. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And let's turn our focus to sustainability and community action with a conversation about SEEDS. That's Sustainable Energy Education and Development Support. Joining us now on the line is Michelle Long, Development Director for SEEDS. That's the nonprofit working to help residents, businesses, and organizations in our region reduce their environmental footprint while saving money in the process. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. Especially good when you say things like reduce my environmental footprint and save some money. Tell us a little bit more about SEEDS and your mission.
So SEEDS is a nonprofit working in the Northeast region, Pennsylvania, New York area. And we provide a couple different programs. Our volunteer-based group provides home energy efficiency assessments for folks. So we can go in and take a look around and give you some ideas on how to save a few bucks with your energy consumption. We also provide solar assessments. So if anybody is interested in doing solar, we have volunteers to come out to take a look at your property and give you an idea of whether it would be feasible to do that. And one of the big programs we have each fall is our book share, which is coming up in September, which is basically everybody's got a bunch of books sitting around the house, some of them collecting dust, and it's an opportunity to donate those to other folks. And while you're there, pick up some to read for the next year. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up in September. So most of our programs focus around those three big ticket items. But we have a newsletter that we produce each month that has loads of information about ways to it talks about renewable energy. On a local level, regional level, and you know, what's going on in the world, and also provide some tips on sustainable living and, you know, gives us some updates on some of the projects that we're working on along with our partners. So, you know, it's a great tool for folks to check out once a month.
And
I think that's about it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What areas do you primarily serve? I mentioned the region, but like what specific areas does SEEDS primarily serve?
Wayne, Pike, Monroe counties in Pennsylvania. We do have some folks who, you know, they're part of our membership within the Lower Catskill area as well. But most of our area is within the Northeast Pennsylvania area. But of course, with, you know, WJFF, you're able to get the word out on our services in a much broader area. So that works out great for us because it's not like the information that we provide is a regional information. It's information that people can use, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, it's not proprietary, so you can share it with everybody because it's great that, you know, folks want to reduce their environmental impact, save some money too. Do you have any success stories you want to share related to that, folks who have, you know, successfully done that?
So we've had a number of folks actually who've eventually become volunteers who have signed up for an energy efficiency assessment. It was a few years ago, actually, I did one on my home, and they were able to come in, provide me some ideas on just a few things to, you know, fix some insulation in my attic, maybe look at electric suppliers that are, you know, more, they provide renewable energy as an electric source. We also, you know, sealed some windows and did a few things like that. And we were able to save a few bucks over, you know, after making some of those improvements to our home. And that's the message we try to send to people, that some of these improvements that you can do around your home are not that expensive, but can have a bigger impact. So, there's a few folks who've benefited from that. And looking at the work that we do and talking to them about some of the, you know, these folks that we're doing the energy assessments on, talking about the work that we do and how to do that. We've had folks sign up to be volunteers as part of our energy assessment team. And so they can, you know, spread their wealth of information that they learn from the program. So, it's helped us and them in the work that we do.
Speaking of volunteers, and I may have buried the lead here, Michelle, you have an ice cream social coming up for volunteers. Please tell us more.
Oh, yes. Yes. So very excited about this. Who doesn't love ice cream, right?
Now you know.
We wanted to get our volunteers together and talk about, you know, some of the projects that we're working on and see if they can bring a friend or, bring somebody with them to learn about the many different opportunities that we have with Seeds to give back to the community. So we decided to put together an ice cream social, which, like I said, hopefully it's not going to be too hot of a day, but it's actually a National Ice Cream Day, so it works out perfect. And that's going to be Sunday, the 20th, this upcoming Sunday, July 20th. From 2 to 4 at the Pawpack Township Recreational Complex, and that's in Lakeville. So we'll talk to folks about some of our volunteer opportunities with our Bookshare, which is, it's an event that starts a couple days beforehand with folks dropping off books. We have to sort them, put them in like a mini library, get it all set up. And then folks come and take them, and then we have to then, whatever's left, recycle them or repurpose them to another organization. And then we also have the home energy efficiency assessments where folks can be trained how to be volunteers to do that. And we also have our solar assessments where folks can learn how to do a solar assessment, learn more about teaching folks on solar education. And, like every other nonprofit, we also have some administrative opportunities for those who want to help, dig in a little bit more by helping with the website, some office work. And, of course, our newsletter, contributing folks to write stories for our newsletter, research topics, provide photographs, that kind of thing. And then, we have our regular outreach program where we attend a lot of different events throughout the region, telling folks about our programs and what we have to offer. And again, all these programs are free. We're looking forward to the ice cream social this coming Sunday, hoping for some good weather. So.
Yep, that's Michelle Long, Development Director for Seeds Sustainable Energy Education and Development Support. You can find out all about their work at seedsgroup.net and learn more about that ice cream social, too, and volunteer opportunities. Michelle, thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with more Radio Chatskill after this.
Hello, I'm Michelle Martin. How's the newspaper where you live? Thin? Getting thinner? Publishing a few days a week, if at all? You're not alone. Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats.
It will sell off more of its daily newspapers.
The largest news organization is shrinking.
It's laid off nearly a quarter of its newsroom.
And that makes it harder to keep up with our elected officials and what they're doing. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part by keeping NPR and the station strong with a donation today. And we thank you.
Your gift keeps local news, culture, and NPR funded and freely available to the entire community. Give what you can to keep it going. It's so important right now. Donate at wjffradio.org.
You can also call us at 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and joined in the studio by a special guest, Amy Brightfield, Vice President of our Board of Trustees.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for helping us out during our summer fun drive.
Well, Monday's a good morning to come, right? Because everyone's, you know, start your week off right and donate.
And donate, right. Exactly. We heard from some folks already. Lucas, we heard from Joseph, Sheila, Bruce, Joan earlier today, David earlier today. We had a great weekend as well. How was your weekend?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
happening. Rain. Well, talking about another good organization in town, Catskill Art Space.
Yeah.
They had their benefit on Saturday night. And so I got to meet Thurman Barker.
Oh, you never met Thurman?
I've never met him.
Oh, he's so great.
He was amazing.
Local jazz legend here in our community. We've had him on several times. And it's interesting that you haven't met him before because he's a drummer. And you, secret skills here, Amy Brightfield, Vice President, Editor at Better Homes and Garden, also drummer.
I am no Thurman Barker. That is for sure. I was starstruck. I was like, he's like, oh, you have to come listen to my drum rolls that he plays in the Calicoon
band yes.
on Wednesdays.
Yes.
Not every Wednesday, but
He was here this last week, apparently, I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really a thrill. Oh, and at CAS, the benefit, someone was asking me, they wanted to make a match. They wanted to do a match.
A challenge,
for us, so,
yeah. Oh, good. So you were working a little bit there, too.
I was working it.
We appreciate that.
But that's what shows, like, this is such a community of artists and creative people, and this is just, it's such a great place to be.
Yeah, and 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org is where you can donate during our summer fun drive. And we had a lot of activities this weekend. We had our tiny porch concert, our pool party.
I was there.
You were there. And then all the things going on in the community. I happened to be out yesterday evening just going to the grocery store. And again, you know, somebody in line, oh, hey, how's the summer fun drive going? And it's so great to connect to people just no matter where you are. And they're aware of like, hey, you guys are doing your drive. Is it going well? You know, what can I do? Can we do a match? It's so nice to hear that. And also get those donations online at wjffradio.org or for folks calling 845-482-4141. It shows you that community connection.
Community connection. And it's really important. And also, I play drums at a lot of the open mics, and a lot of the local musicians were here on Saturday.
Yeah.
And David Milner was like, thank you so much for including me. And I was like, well, thank you for your support. Like, that's every... I mean, money helps, 845-482-4141, but also volunteering.
Yep.
Everything helps, and like we need it now more than ever.
Yeah, we were talking to Michelle from Seeds there earlier before you came on, and she was mentioning some of the volunteer opportunities they have, and I was thinking, we have some of those too. But yeah, again, in any way that you can contribute. Right now, Summer Fun Drive is the best way if you can help us with a donation of any amount, whether it's $50 or $500. No donation is too large, as Ronald Kelson says. No donation too large.
Because we usually say, or small.
No, too large.
No donation is too much. And also, you're donating to something really good.
Yeah.
It's especially now because our public fund, our federal funding is under
threat. It's under attack. It's under threat.
And that's almost 25% of our budget we'll lose.
And the Senate has to vote this week. They have a July 18th deadline. That is Friday. It's also the last day of our fund drive. We'll find out this week what they're going to do. Call your senators. ProtectMyPublicMedia.org will put you in touch with your senator. Tell them you want public media to stay. You want that funding to stay, including funding for stations like ours and throughout the country, because we're all on the same team.
We're
all in this together. Amy Brightfield, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, so much fun to be here.
Good to see you in person. 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Donate right now. Your financial support essential in providing our vital service to the community right now. Stand with us. Protect our station and others. This is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Chatskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
This station keeps you informed and keeps things in perspective.
Life is just one 10-minute experience after another.
You don't want to underrate the power of these small little gestures.
I do believe that the universe is chaos and our role in it, which is, I think, the beauty and the agony of life, is to make sense of it.
We promise to keep helping you make sense of it all. Donate to this station today, and thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141. You're listening to WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Thunderstorms are going to be developing this afternoon, and locally heavy rainfall is possible. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch for central New York and northeast Pennsylvania from noon and through this evening. Be aware that some areas could flood.